From the Danker studio on Library Square, this is The Rundown, an exploration of local news, current events, and issues that matter to you. I'm Roger McDonough. Today on the program, the United States Supreme Court has decided not to hear appeals to the rulings that struck down state bans on same-sex marriages in five states. We'll examine the major implications of that decision for the nation and for Utah.
There was a ban on same-sex marriage called Amendment 3. The plaintiffs sued and challenged that law in federal court under the United States Constitution. They won at the trial level. The governor and attorney general appealed. The plaintiffs won again. And then the governor and the attorney general appealed again to the United States Supreme Court, and today they lost. So there is now a final judgment from the U.S. Supreme Court stating that same-sex marriage is legal in our state.
Plus your top local headlines coming up on The Rundown. Welcome back to The Rundown. I'm Roger McDonough. Coming up, we'll get analysis from University of Utah law professor Clifford Roski on the decision by the U.S. Supreme Court to not hear appeals over same-sex marriage, which means that the practice is once again legal here in Utah. First up, though, we have these headlines. And topping the list today, of course, same-sex marriage is once again legal in Utah. And this time, it's likely here to stay. As I just mentioned, the United States Supreme Court announced on Monday morning that it would not be hearing any cases challenging same-sex marriage bans. The High Court rejected cases from Indiana, Oklahoma, Utah, Virginia, and Wisconsin. While the move does not directly endorse same-sex marriage, it does mean that recent appellate court decisions around the country are affirmed. With those circuit courts' opinions tacitly upheld, 30 U.S. states will now fully recognize gay marriage. Here's KCPW's Ryan Cunningham with more.
Speaking in front of the media on Monday, Utah Governor Gary Herbert was clearly disappointed with the Supreme Court's decision to forego discussion on same-sex marriage. But in addressing his cabinet, he was unambiguous in how he felt Utah should proceed.
Accordingly, each agency should conduct business today and going forward, recognizing all legally performed same-sex marriages. Please make adjustments to any forms or other processes as appropriate.
Attorney General Sean Reyes, who led the fight to defend Utah's same-sex marriage ban, was also conciliatory. In fact, Reyes expected the state to treat all married couples equally within all aspects of the law.
We're inclined at this point to believe that many of those issues are moot, specifically with regard to adoptions, if the plaintiffs now have the remedy that they desired, and they could dismiss their case today and have the benefits that they sought. So we again, have to look at those a little more carefully with our team before we make any commitments. But for right now, it appears that there is more clarity with regard to other issues and not just the kitchen case.
In the wake of the court's polarizing decision, Governor Herbert urged civility.
This has been, I'm sure everyone recognizes, has been and will continue to be an emotional issue for many people. But let me encourage the people of Utah, regardless of your personal beliefs when it comes to the same-sex marriage and this issue, please treat each one of us, each other, with respect and with kindness as we transition through this new law.
It's a new law, and for many Utahns, a new reality. But the shock of federal Judge Robert Shelby's decision in December can't be matched this time around, especially after so many federal district court decisions and later circuit court decisions took the same position. Lawsuits are decided or pending in all the states with same-sex marriage bans, and only a federal district court in Louisiana has ruled in favor of a state's prerogative to define marriage. So given the vastly different legal landscape this time around, the activity at the Salt Lake County Clerk's office was more subdued 10 months later. But for the same-sex couples trickling in to get marriage certificates, the moment was just as emotional.
In the state of Utah, you are now legally spouses.
Ariel Yoawa and Gregory Enke, married by State Senator Jim DeBacchus, were the third same-sex couple on Monday to get a marriage certificate. They've been together for 8 years. Health issues kept them from getting married the first time around, but Enke says they didn't wait long to tie the knot this time.
I'm just really super happy. I have children from a previous marriage. We've been together 8 years, but it just means we're a family legally as well as emotionally. And we spent the day with the kids yesterday at Bear Lake. It was gorgeous. My little grandbaby, she's 4, running and splashing in the water. It just helps you feel validated You know, I sent an email to my boss at work. I'm going to pass out treats at work. You know, here we are.
Couple number four, Leslie McWilliams and Sherry Ault, have been together for 18 years. They're actually on their way out of Utah. They're moving to Florida in 2 days.
So we just figured, wow, just before we're leaving.
All kinds of things keep happening to us just before we leave. So I thought, well, we're just going to go with
it. So we had one more thing on the bucket list, and this is it.
After all these years.
So this will be fun.
This will be fun. Another new adventure.
While the matter of gay marriage seems to be all but settled in Utah, not everyone is convinced. Sherilyn Eager of the American Leadership Fund has been an outspoken opponent of same-sex marriage. She says the fight over marriage and other LGBT issues is far from over.
Well, first and foremost, we have to make sure that any non-discrimination law is prohibited from passing in this next session. And citizens need to be aware of, upon passage of that law itself, how their religious liberties are going to be imposed upon and violated, and also the damage that it does to adolescents in the school environment and the confusion over gendered identity. And this is happening all over the country right now. And we have the right as a state, as our governor said, it is a state's rights issue to determine which direction we go in those matters.
But Senator DeBacchus, the only openly gay legislator in Utah, sees LGBT concerns getting a stronger hearing now with the same-sex marriage case settled.
I think, in a way, we've reversed the order a little bit here. But I think once people begin to understand that allowing LGBT people to get married is very, very common and no big deal, I think non-discrimination is going to follow very shortly.
But regardless of what questions remain and what battles are yet to be resolved, LGBT advocates are certain to see Monday as a big step forward. John Netto, president of the Utah Pride Center, says this day is one for celebration.
There are kids all over this state now, in Provo, in Tremont, in even smaller places, that are trying to find a way out of the oppression, of the weight that they feel of who they are, and they're given a new light today. An unbelievable light, something that I grew up accustomed to having, they now get to have. It, for me, it's profound. For me, it's a blessing of a day. It is a beautiful day to celebrate.
Gay marriage advocates will be celebrating later Monday night at Library Square in commemoration of their victory. For now, and possibly for good, same-sex marriage is legal in Utah. For KCPW News, I'm Ryan Cunningham.
Over 100 people, including former Salt Lake City Mayor Rocky Anderson, have rallied to protest a string of officer-involved shootings in Utah. A group calling itself Utah Against Police Brutality staged the protest Saturday in Salt Lake City. Protesters criticized what they called the authoritarianism and militarization of local police and called for the removal of their military-grade weapons and gear. Demonstrators also want to expand the use of body cameras worn by officers and require civilian boards to review police shootings. Protesters included family members of people killed by officers, including the mother of Danielle Willard, who was fatally shot by a West Valley City officer who has been charged with manslaughter. The Salt Lake Tribune reports 43 people have been fatally shot by police since 2010 in Utah. And that does it for a summary of the day's top local headlines. I'm Roger McDonough. You're tuned into The Rundown. We'll be right back. And thanks again for tuning into The Rundown. I'm Roger McDonough. This morning, the U.S. Supreme Court left standing appeals court rulings on same-sex marriage from 5 different states. This effectively made the practice of gay marriage legal once again in Utah and elsewhere. To better understand what this means for our state and for the nation, I'm joined via the phone now by University of Utah law professor Clifford Roski. Professor Roski, thank you very much for taking the time to speak with us today.
Oh, thanks. It's a pleasure joining you.
The U.S. Supreme Court today declined to hear appeals in same-sex marriage cases from 5 different states. Professor Roski, what are the immediate repercussions of that decision here in Utah? And also, was this this decision to not hear these cases unexpected?
So the immediate repercussions in Utah is that same-sex couples have the freedom to marry throughout the state, and that anyone who any same-sex couple who has been married in the past, either in another state or in Utah, is now legally married in this state. There were also some same-sex couples who either had completed adoptions or were seeking to adopt their children, and those adoptions are now legally valid and must proceed. And I think this was a very unexpected decision from the Supreme Court. Both sides of all the cases had asked the court to hear an appeal. It's obviously an issue of national importance, and I think there were two possibilities, either that the court would hold on to these cases and wait to see what happened and decide later whether or not to take a case, or that they were going to take one of the cases. No one expected the court to decide in October that it would not take any of the cases.
So more than a bit of a surprise on that.
Yes, point. Absolutely.
You know, the cases that the court declined to hear, they were from three different circuit courts. Does that mean that other states, in addition to those cases from five states, are going to be affected as well?
Yes. So there are 11 new states where same-sex couples have the freedom to marry today. And so that's a total of more than 30 states in the United States.
You know, you'd think that not hearing a case wouldn't create big waves, that a denial of cert or a denial of judicial review wouldn't have such big, far-reaching consequences, but it's because of the nature of what that does. Can you explain how not hearing a case allows for this to happen?
Yeah, it's important to understand that in all of these states, the plaintiffs won at the trial level, and then the state appealed, and the plaintiffs won again, and then the state was appealing to the United States Supreme Court. That's the last opportunity that these states had to appeal, and the Supreme Court has now dismiss the appeals. They don't hear the appeals. And as a result, you know, the gay plaintiffs have won in all of these cases and in all of these states. So, you know, this is a final judgment in favor of same-sex marriage in 11 states. It's of great significance. And really, as a practical matter, this is the end of, you know, the Supreme Court's involvement. The Supreme Court had been very careful until now to issue stays and preserve its opportunity to hear these cases, and as of today, all the stays are lifted, and same-sex couples are marrying 11 new states. The court is surely aware of that effect, and there's no way that they're going to try to roll that back later.
Well, you know, actually, on that point, we've had various circuit courts that have agreed with federal rulings that bans on same-sex marriage are unconstitutional, but haven't there been one or two where the circuit courts have gone the other way?
No. So the only judge since the Supreme Court's decision striking down the Defense of Marriage Act, only one federal court has disagreed, but that was a trial court in Louisiana. No appeals court has gone the other way. In other words, all the appeals courts, the 4th, the 7th, and the 10th, have all agreed that state laws against same-sex marriage are unconstitutional. So that's probably one of the reasons that the court felt they could avoid the issue, is that apparently the court thinks that they've reached the right result. Every case. So,
could we expect other circuit courts? I know that there are circuit courts that are known for being a little bit more conservative, the 5th and 6th, for example. Could we expect those to come down with rulings that favor the bans on same-sex marriage?
I would be shocked if, after today's decision, any federal appeals court were to disagree with the 4th, 7th, and 10th circuits. It's important to understand that our liberal you know, there are circuit courts that are widely regarded as liberal. Those might be like the 9th Circuit in California, and possibly the 2nd or maybe the 1st in New York and Boston. But the 4th, 7th, and 10th circuits are not among the liberal circuits in the United States. They are, if anything, on the conservative side. And they have, it's an issue from a legal standpoint that is clearly cutting across liberal, conservative, Republican, Democrat, many conservative Republican judges appointed by conservative Republican presidents have agreed that states can no longer deny same-sex couples the freedom to marry.
A couple of terms back, the Supreme Court took up the DOMA and Prop 8 cases. Do we have any insights into why it wouldn't take up the same-sex marriage issue at this point?
I think that it's clear that what the Supreme Court said about the Defense of Marriage Act applies to state laws. It's important to understand that just last year, the court struck down a federal ban on same-sex marriage, and the reason they gave for doing that was that it harmed and humiliated tens of thousands of children being raised by same-sex couples. There is no difference at all with respect to those children about whether it's a federal ban or a state ban. And so if the Supreme Court was willing to protect children from a federal law banning same-sex marriage, of course they're going to be willing to do the same for state law. If anything, the state law is more invasive because it actually prevents their parents from getting married in the first place. And so, you know, and this is not me talking, this is Justice Scalia, one of the judges who disagreed with that decision. He said, look, from what you've said about the Defense of Marriage Act, it's perfectly clear that you're going to say the same thing about state laws. He said, at this point, it's just a matter of waiting for the other shoe to drop. And today, the other shoe dropped. And I think that the liberal and conservative justices all understood that the handwriting is on the wall because the Supreme Court put it there when they struck down the Defense of Marriage Act. When you strike down an anti-gay law because it's humiliating the children of gay parents, it's perfectly clear what the future holds. And so I think at this point, all of the justices understand that the decision was already actually made. It's only a legal technicality that a federal law was struck down and not a state law. And that's why you see 38 courts across the country striking down these laws and why the Supreme Court doesn't feel the need to intervene. They've already spoken on the issue. And their message was received so clearly that every appeals court agrees with it.
And a variety of federal judges who declared these bans unconstitutional, correct?
I mean, yes, all but one. And we're talking about dozens of judges.
Right. So then from a legal perspective, I mean, this is over and done with. The argument over same-sex marriage from a legal perspective is basically winding down. And I guess a question that I have on this is, you know, right now, same-sex marriage is once again legal in Utah. Can we expect that indefinitely?
Yes. Absolutely. In fact, so that's very important to understand. Just for, you know, sort of all the Utahns listening about what's the law in Utah. There was a ban on same-sex marriage called Amendment 3. The plaintiffs sued and challenged that law in federal court under the United States Constitution. They won at the trial level. The governor and attorney general appealed. The plaintiffs won again at the appellate level in the 10th Circuit. And then the governor and the attorney general appealed again to the United States Supreme Court, and today they lost. So there is now a final judgment from the U.S. Supreme Court stating that same-sex marriage is legal in our state. There's nothing. One would have to imagine a long series of complicated legal scenarios that are incredibly unlikely to call that into any question. It's sort of not really worth entertaining. You know, the Supreme Court is aware that they just allowed same-sex marriage in 11 states. And so at this point, you're going to have thousands and thousands of same-sex couples across the country getting married. There's no chance that the court is going to try to undo that later.
Do you think those who are trying to uphold these bans will get that message and will leave it alone? Or is it something that they're going to try and find those complicated legal maneuverings to challenge some way or another?
It's really up to them if they want to present an argument that they know is going to fail. I mean, we've seen this before, that the state of Utah, for example, had spent many hundreds of thousands of dollars defending a law that everyone really knew was going to fail. Surely, at this point, the attorney general and the governor will drop any opposition to same-sex marriage in Utah. At this point, it's, you know, approaching a contempt of court to do anything different. But what, you know, other governors do in other states like Mississippi, I'm not really sure. You know, I can't right. speak for them.
Does what the court did today set a so-called legal precedent to be followed in the future?
Strictly speaking, when the Supreme Court refuses to hear a case, that refusal itself is not precedent. This is, I think, the kind of an issue where the law is so distant from reality. The idea that the Supreme Court has still left itself the opportunity to uphold state bans on same-sex marriage, I think, is not realistic as a practical matter. It's technically legally true, but it's not realistic.
But I guess in terms of what that means for the states that are pursuing these bans on same-sex marriage or denying rights to same-sex couples, does that mean that continuing to pursue that avenue is perhaps a bit...
If the Supreme Court wanted to vindicate their position, they would not have denied all these appeals.
Could there be a split circuit, though? I mean, like, could it happen that there's a split circuit in the future?
So theoretically, the Sixth Circuit or the Fifth Circuit theoretically could look at this decision, ignore it, and say, we disagree with the 4th, 7th, and 10th circuits, that would force the Supreme Court's hand. Then the court would have to take a case, because not only is it an issue of national importance, but you'd have a clear division of the circuit courts. And the idea that any group of people or even state officials would have to live without clarity on this issue of federal law indefinitely is unacceptable. And so the Supreme Court would have to intervene, and they would have to take that case. But it seems very clear to me at this point that they would have to reverse that ruling, because they've allowed the 4th, 7th, and 10th Circuit decisions to stand. And the idea that thousands of same-sex couples could go forward with their lives and their families, their children would be told that they're married, they would rely on that, they would adopt these children, and then later the Supreme Court would say, oh, well, now we have a split. And so now we'll take the case. And by the way, all of these laws were always constitutional. Frankly, as a matter of, I mean, this is probably way too much for radio, but just as a strictly legal matter, Utah would have to repass its bans on same-sex marriage because they would have been struck down by the 10th Circuit. This is, you know, at a certain point, the legal technicalities become so absurd that they really begin to lose meaning. I think today, effectively, the court closed the door on same-sex marriage bans.
You know, on that point, and as we heard in an earlier news report, Governor Gary Herbert issued a statement earlier today saying that he was surprised that the Supreme Court had decided not to consider Utah's or other states' cases. He said, and I'll just quote here, "I believe states should have the right to determine their own laws regarding marriage. That said, we are a society of laws, and we will uphold the law. I have instructed state agencies to implement necessary changes in light of today's news." He also issued a call for people to treat each other with respect, possibly a conciliatory note from the governor there.
Which, of course, I mean, the governor and the attorney general, like all state officials, has sworn to uphold not only the Utah Constitution, but the federal Constitution. And, you know, once the federal court orders that same-sex couples have the freedom to marry in Utah, it's actually a crime to deny them that right at this point. So it's, you know, not surprising at all that the governor would recognize. The governor's always made it clear that whatever the courts decide, he would abide by those decisions. And so I would expect nothing less from the governor of our state.
Finally, you know, you mentioned before the effect that this would have on married same-sex couples who are, involved in, say, adoption processes and other rights processes where they're trying to get the rights of married couples. That's kind of immediately dealt with this refusal of cert or whatever it is, denial of cert, correct?
Absolutely. So any same-sex couple who was married and then completed an adoption in the state of Utah, that adoption is valid today and must be recognized by the attorney general, the governor, and all state officials. And then anyone who was in the process of seeking an adoption and the state had intervened and tried to stop that process would now move forward.
Wow. Well, big repercussions for this ruling today. Professor Roski, I really appreciate your taking the time to speak with us and help us understand it better. Very
interesting. Thanks so much. I really appreciate the opportunity to speak with you.
Clifford Roski is a law professor at the University of Utah who teaches courses on criminal law, constitutional law, and sexuality, gender, and law. You can find this interview, as well as all of our past programs, at our website, kcpw.org, or on iTunes. I'm Roger McDonough. This is The Rundown. Stay with us. Thanks again for tuning into The Rundown this afternoon. Our show today was produced by yours truly, with additional help from Ross Chambliss, Ryan Cunningham, and news intern Mycel Spotted Elk. Our theme music was composed by Tim Myers. Tune in each weekday at 5 for an exploration of local news, events, and issues that matter to you on The Rundown. I'm Roger McDonough. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned next for the Utah Business Report and Marketplace.